we are serving. What a wonderful God we are serving. What a beautiful God we are serving. Let's magnify His holy name. Let's exalt Him. Many people desire to be alive today, but for one reason or the other, they couldn't make it. But the mercy of God located you and I. The mercy of God located our families. The devil's plan was for us to be in the mortuary, but we are in the sanctuary. He wants us to be mourning, but we are celebrating God. Why won't we give Him praise? Let's exalt Him. Let's magnify His holy name. Him alone is worthy to be praised and exalted. Let's just thank Him, okay? Let's thank Him from the bottom of our hearts. Oh, Father, we give You thanks. Lord, we exalt You. Lord, we thank You. Indeed, You have done us well. Indeed, You have done us well. We magnify Your holy name. We worship Your holy name. We worship Your excellency. Be glorified, Jehovah. Thank You, Jesus. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks. And Lord, as we look into Your word today again, we pray that our eyes of understanding will be enlightened in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Your name will be glorified in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
In this temple of clay, Your name will be exalted there in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. We can take our seat. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Better for Jesus. For the King of Kings. For the Lord of Lords. For the great I am. Thank you, Jesus. We quickly try to maximize the time we have to look into the Word of God. And I want to again congratulate all the June people again. Hallelujah. You are unique. Hallelujah. We thank God for you and we pray that the hand of God will continue to rest upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. Your word will celebrate you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
None of you shall be a concern to your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, once again for these people. And Father, we cover them with the blood of Jesus. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus that the evil one will not have his way in your lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. So we continue with the series, our series of teaching, preparing for divine encounter. Preparing for the divine encounter. As we know that in the natural, when we want to host our friends or we want to host some people, be it national issue or private or even corporate or even family, we always prepare. And we are also made to understand that preparation always precedes manifestation. Without preparation, there won't be manifestation. In other words, even in the kingdom of God, we have to understand that our level of preparation for God will determine the level to which His glory will manifest in our lives. God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the highest. The Bible did not call Him the high God, the mighty God, said the Almighty God. That means all the might that be belongs to Him. He is the all-powerful God. There is no one that can be compared with Him or with His might or with His power. And in His majesty, He will never go to a place where He's not celebrated. Hello? Even children, they know, you know, when we're growing up in Africa, then when we have many of the houses built close to each other. You see children, anywhere you see a neighbor that likes carrying babies, once their mother releases them, they go to that person that will carry them. But if you see the one that normally meet them with the eyes of it will run. Even babies, they have enough sense to understand that. Not to talk of the Most High God. God will not go to a place where He is not celebrated. And like we said, that we have three dimensions of the presence of God. We have the omnipresence nature of Him, which means that God is everywhere. Under the earth and in every realm of existence, God is there. His presence is there. In Stockholm right now, He's there. At the same time, He's in Sydney, Australia, He's in Lagos, Nigeria, and every time, everywhere, He's always there. And that is his omnipresence. It's everywhere at every time. Hallelujah to Jesus. And we went ahead to describe it, that we also have his mobile presence, which is, which we describe because of the fact that he lives in us as individuals, as Christians. Anyone that has accepted Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior, we have to understand the fact that the Holy Spirit came into us and God is living inside us. And therefore, we have the mobile presence of God in us. Whether we go to the toilet, or we go to the banking hall, or we go to anywhere, we go to at any particular time, is in us. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. But we have also what we call the glory of God, which is defined as the manifest presence of God. And like we said, that when you have a bottle of perfume, you put it on your table, it may be there for years. If until you press it and you release it, nobody will smell it. Hallelujah. It's just like when you finish using the bathroom and then maybe you've eaten a lot of fufu. and you have the, I normally call it akoro in my house, you know, the air freshener. If you don't release it and press it, the place will be terrible. Hallelujah. The same way, this earth will be terrible without the manifest presence of God. But manifest presence of God is only available where God is celebrated. And that's why when God wanted to invade the camp of his people, he told his servants, he said, tell them, let them prepare. In fact, they went to the extent of receiving instruction, you know, to clean their clothes, to wash their clothes. They go to the laundry, go and book. Hallelujah. They go to the laundry, go and book. Wash your clothes. The Most High is coming down to visit you. And that's why, you know, it's always advising for us to dress wonderfully when we are going to his presence. You see, it's not just a physical thing. You don't go to the palace of a king anyhow. You remember when Joseph was called from the prison, they had to shave his beard. They had to clean him up. You don't bring him that way to the presence of, into the presence of the king. And that's not an earthly king. What of the glorious king, the king of glory? Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. So what we are talking about is that God wants to invade our camp afresh. He wants to display his glory afresh in our lives. He wants to display his glory in our careers. He wants to display his glory in the life of our children. He wants to display his glory in everything that has to do with us. But we have to prepare for his coming. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to his word in the book of Psalms, chapter 119. It's our main focus for the month. And let's quickly read from verse 9. Psalms 119, starting from verse 9. The psalmist writing here, he says, in King James Version, say, wherewith or how shall a man cleanse his way? You see that there's a question mark there. So he was inspired by the Spirit of God to write it there. What is the way? Because definitely he might have tried on his own to live a clean life. He said, okay, I will never taste the food again. It seemed, but by the time he looked at it for the second time, the first time, he said, I can't, but just go back to it. And a lot of times we've tried it on our own. And say, we've made New Year resolutions that need them when we say, oh, Happy New Year. This year, I won't do this thing again. First week, yes. Second week, the third week, we say, let me try it again. Hallelujah. But before you know what is happening, you're back in it. But the good news that we have here is that God has all it takes to empower us to live the way he has created us to live. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let us have the understanding that every instruction given by the manufacturer for a product to operate is to protect that product. So everything God asks us to do is not because of God, it's because of us. Because his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not designed to grieve us, but to groom us, to protect us. Hallelujah to Jesus. So this writer, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, how or wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? You remember that young man, they're full of hopes. They are full of aspirations. They are full of energy. Hallelujah. You know, it's just like if you notice our kids these days, they say everything, they say, it's boring. It's boring. They are full of that. They always want to do something. And as a result of that, They are, as a result of their being involved in many activities, they put their hands in many things. And here he said, how shall a young man cleanse his way? He answered it by saying, by taking heed according to thy word. Not according to thy to the traditions. Not according to his emotions. Not according to his experience, but according to the word of God. Because it is the word of God alone that has the power to keep you clean. Thank you, Jesus. He said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. You know, to wander means to depart. He said, how can I cleanse my way? As a young man, what can I do to live a godly life? What can I do so that when the enemy comes to tempt me, I will not fall? You know, and when you're talking about sin, don't just look at that issue of fornication or whatever it is. Every unrighteousness is a sin. Anything that is not in line with the will of God is a sin. The Lord spoke to Jonah, said, go to Nineveh. He said, no, I don't like that place. I prefer another city. He took off and went to another place. He was sinning. Because it departed from the will of God. God may have asked us to say, may have asked us to be a tailor. I said, no, from my personal experience, my father was a tailor. He was not successful. Forever, I won't be a tailor. And you take off, like Jonah. And you become a medical doctor. Hallelujah. So you go beyond just issue of stealing and whatever. No. Anything that is against to the word of God or that is contrary to the will of God is a sin. And here he was saying that the only way to get myself clean or to live according to his instruction is to adhere to his word. He said, oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. Now verse 11 said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He said, blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Thy statutes means thy ways, or thy words, or thy instruction. Hey, Lord, teach me. My parents can't handle this. My experience cannot handle this. My religion couldn't even handle this. My pastor couldn't have helped me with this. Lord, you are the only way that will teach me your statutes, Lord. Help me. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to understand that the issue of holiness has been abused. Redefine many according to their own passion. However, the scripture made it very clear what holiness is all about. Holiness means to be separated unto the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the meaning. To be separated unto the Lord. To be sanctified means to be consecrated or to be separated unto the Lord. Which simply means that you are saying that, Lord, everything that you will is what I will do. It's not just about, okay, well, I won't go to a particular place or I have to dress in a particular way. Of course, your serving God requires that you dress in a way that will bring glory to God. You cannot go around with rags, purposely exposing your body and thinking that you are dressing for glory. No. We are kings and priests and we are to dress according to that. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. So he said, teach me your statute. Let us also understand the fact that the word of God is the only tool that God has given unto us to direct our path. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Hallelujah. We'll quickly read here because of our time. Peter, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, was writing here. You know, Peter, if you remember very well, he had this experience. When Jesus was going to the mountain, he called how many people? He called 3 of them. James, Peter, and John. They were the inner carcass. The closest of the closest guys to him. And he said, okay, let's have this. Let's go to this place. And they prayed and they prayed. And the Bible said, right in their presence, he was transfigured. They saw him. They saw the glory of God radiating upon his life. Through that experience, they even had encounter with those saints who have passed. God opened their eyes, they were able to see Moses, they were able to see Elijah. Every glorious experience on that mountain. But look at what Peter wrote many years after. He said in verse 19, he said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Now, he said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. No prophecy or no instruction of the scripture is for private interpretation. He said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So he was telling them, if you read it behind, I mean before, he was saying that even though we had experience, that we saw him physically, we walked with him for 3.5 years. I was even among the people that followed him to the mountain, and I saw him transfigured. But he was addressing the brethren that this experience is nothing compared to the word of God that you have in your hands. So, because some people say, oh, I wish I would believe Jesus if Jesus can come to my room and appear and just do like this, a mighty man. You are wasting your time, sir. Hallelujah. Don't be like Thomas. That said, oh, no, until I touch his side, until I see that hole, I won't believe. Jesus said, blessed are those who do not see me, yet they believe. He was saying that the greatest encounter that you can have with God ever in your life is through his word. So he said, we have the more sure word of prophecy, that the physical encounter that we had with him is nothing compared with the encounter with the word of God. So if you want to live a holy life, the secret is not your emotions. The secret is not in your religious affiliation per se. The secret is not even your tradition. The secret is not even where you live, the country where you live. But the secret is in being acquainted to the word of God, the sure word of prophecy. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He said, let us lay aside every weight. Say every weight.
Every
weight. He said, every weight and the sin we doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There is no man on earth that doesn't have something that he needs to work on in his life. You will never ever get to that point except after rapture that we have the glorified body. When you say, okay, here I have arrived. No, Jesus said, he that think is done, let him watch. Do you think that he himself wasn't tempted? He was tempted. Hello? The way Reuben was tempted about sexual immorality was the way Joseph was tempted. Reuben fell for it. He lost. He lost forever. In fact, they told him, he said, you are my firstborn, you will not excel. Any step that you will take that will wreck your destiny, you won't take it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Remember, we pray today that, Lord, deliver me from the spirit of error. You know, the spirit of error will be pushing you to do the wrong thing. If you can see that this thing is not working, the way you are talking to your wife, the way you are talking to your husband, the way you are talking to your son, things are not working that way. You still say, don't listen to him. Don't you think he wants to cheat you? You are a professor. He doesn't even go to any school. Speak to him in a harder way. And gradually, you flush your marriage down the drain. Hallelujah to Jesus. See, that is the satanic manipulation. Bible said concerning David, Bible said that, and he wanted to punish Israel. He said he moved David to number Israel. They were begging him. He said, my Lord, why conducting census at this time? They said, no, shut up. You are not as educated as me. I am a man that loves the Lord. He numbered Israel and they paid for it dearly. Thousands died. Hello? When Reuben was committing that sin, how many minutes? Will he take to sleep with the woman? But he lost out finally. Hello? Look at Gehazi. Gehazi was supposed to inherit the anointing after the departure of the man of God. But because of ordinary clothes, gift that one brought, he said, no, how can my Oga allow this man to go like that? I will go after him. You see, the spirit of error sat upon him and make him to mess up his life. Look at Judas Iscariot. He had every right to be numbered among the 12 apostles of the Lamb that had the special place in heaven. But look at how he ended. The spirit of error sat upon him. Look at it. We have even seen it in many in our contemporary days. Many ministries, things working well, miracles happening, and things working well. And suddenly, the devil will just enter somebody and scatter everything. May the Lord deliver you from the spirit of error in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every step that you will take that will wreck your destiny, you will never take it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us understand this fact that we need his help. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Let's go to Romans. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 7. Let's start from verse 22. Romans 7, 22. Hallelujah. You know, Paul was writing, and at this time when Paul was writing, he wasn't an unbeliever. He was a man filled with the Spirit of God that was already creating waves. This was a man that when he shows up in a place, the devils will flee. This was a man that when he went for crusade in a nation, the manifestation of the glory of God was so much to the extent that they brought out animals. They wanted to sacrifice because they thought they were God. But look at what he wrote here in verse 22. He said, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." That means my spirit was yearning to follow the law of God or the word of God inside. He said, "But I see another law in my member or in my body warring against the law of my mind." He said, "And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my member." So he was saying that my spirit wants to serve God. But in my mind, I'm battling with it. I know I'm supposed to read the scripture today. I say, I will postpone it. But I'll do it another day. Hallelujah. Verse 24, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He was lamenting that, "Lord, I don't want to live this life anymore." No. I've seen the situation of a man that was arrested for killing his brother. And in the cell, he looked at him. They said, what did they say I did yesterday? He said, "You marketed so person." He said, "Is it true?" "It can't be possible." He was bewitched. And at that point, when he discovered what he did, he hit his head on the wall of that cell and died there. So you could see that within him, he knew that ordinarily he would not have taken machete to cut off the head of his brother. No. And Paul was lamenting and I said, "No, I love Jesus. I won't wake up and say I want to take a step against him. Lord, deliver me from this flesh." Look at it. Verse 25. He said, "I thank God." Say, "I thank God."
"I thank God.
"I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin." Now, if you jump to the next chapter, which is chapter 8 and in verse 12, he said, in Romans 8:12, he said, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the what?" The flesh. "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify," or you kill, "the deeds of the body." What does it mean to be a debtor to something? You remember the book of Proverbs? It said that they said in Proverbs, which chapter is that? Now I will look for it for you. But it's in Proverbs where it says that the borrower is a servant unto the lender. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
He said that the rich ruleth over the poor. And he said, the borrower is the servant. That's why we have been advising you. Don't just, "Okay, every time I want to borrow." It's dangerous. So, because whoever you borrow from is in control. If he calls you now, and you didn't pick the call, say, "Won't serve for a minute. He's running for me. He doesn't want me to pay." He dictates. Look at what African nations are passing through. The people we borrow from are dictating how we run our economy. If you want to build a stadium or build something, they will say, "No, how can you build it? You have not paid us." They dictate. And after all, I think the English people say that who pays the piper dictates the tune. So if you allow yourself, according to this scripture in Romans 8:12, to be a slave to the flesh, it will be dictating to you. So he said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Don't be a, he said, debtor not. We are not debtors. We are not servants of the flesh. See, they tell the flesh to keep quiet. Hallelujah to Jesus. Therefore, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the spirit, you mortify. To mortify me to kill or to deaden or to silence the deed of the body. He said, you shall live. So tell the body, say, keep quiet. See, there are times when you want to fast. It is that time that your tummy will start the say, shut up. Hallelujah. Shut up, tummy. You know, there are times when you didn't even plan to fast, but you are too busy. You didn't eat throughout the day. Yet your tummy didn't complain. Why is it that the day you want to fast that the tummy is saying, ah, you know, hallelujah. Yes, you see, because he knows, the devil knows that, you see, every time you fast, you know, it's like when you take your car for cleaning, I mean, for service, you come back more sound. And because the Bible doesn't understand that the spirit is the engine man of the body, it derives its life, its enablement from the spirit. So when the spirit is weak, the body will be weak. So when you fast, fasting is a means of servicing the spirit, sir. Hallelujah. That's it. You shut down. You see, fasting is not a religious thing. Forget about all this. No. It's what you are doing is that you are shutting down the body so that you can give attention to the spirit. So that the spirit will come out stronger. And a strong spirit will be in control. If the spirit is weak, the body will be dictating. Just like when young people with weak mind, among their friends, their friend dictates. You know, look at Reuben. That was what the father said. He was, you know, this was the firstborn. He was the firstborn. And he was there. They were his brothers, Judah, the fourth one even, was manipulating him and saying, okay, let's kill you. I mean, let's deal with him. Let's deal with Joseph. Bible said he wanted to save Joseph from them. But he didn't have the boldness. He was too weak, sir. He had too weak will. That was what destroyed him. He saw the woman just languishing and said, this woman. Maybe it was even the woman that was pressurizing him to come and sleep with me. But he lacked the inner strength to say, shut up, woman. No, I don't want to do that. You see, so we all need this thing to mortify the body and say, body, keep quiet. You can't be dictating to me, sir. But it's a battle. It is a battle. Say it's a battle. It's a battle. If Paul at that level was still crying, say, Lord, who will deliver me from this flesh? Don't think that you have arrived, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't think. You see, that's why the devil is what? He's fighting you against you fasting. He's fighting against you without you studying the word of God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. I'm just trying to round up. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, said there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. Said there is a way. He said he looks it. You know, to see means, I don't know if you know this thing called mirage. You know, if you are driving, you're traveling on a sunny day like this. If you are traveling, if you look forward, you will see that there is something that looks like pool of water. Hello? You call it mirage. As you are driving close, you see it disappearing. What took it away? It's not real. Hello? That's the same word used here. He said there is a way that look real to you, but end of it is the way of death. You know, this Yoruba story that said, in the Kariliwa Joba. He said, you know, you remember that story that said they wanted to kill the elephant. Nobody knew how to handle it. He said, Mr. Tortoise, he said, no, don't worry. I will deceive him. They made a big pit that was big enough to contain the elephant. And they put it a night chair, a throne on it. They say, and the tortoise went to him and said, Mr. Elephant, you look so handsome. Yes, say, yes, you're right. You are the biggest animal. He said, yes, you're right, sir. But we don't want you to be the king in this bush alone. Come and be the king in the city, in Stockholm Central. I said, yes, it's good, though. I go. And he said, and they followed him. And he fell into the pit and they killed him there. You will not take a step that will lead to your destruction in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, that's what the devil is doing. He said, no, don't worry. You are the accountant. Just put one figure there. They won't know. You do it first time. They didn't know. Too lazy. See, didn't I tell you? They didn't know. They are dumb. They don't know anything. Just put double. Just put the second two now. And gradually, before we know what is happening, he will expose you one day and say, look at it. You will not be destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, as we round up, what are the things that the devil use to deceive us, especially when it comes to judging the standard? Number one is our emotion. Say emotion. See, emotion is not wrong. You know, we are human beings. We are spirits, essentially. We have this physical body. We live, the spirit live in this physical body. But we have the soul, which is the processing center where we process information. And our soul compared of our mind, our will, and our emotions. So, but emotion, Bible made us understand that those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? They are the sons of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, let's go back to that Romans 8. Let me show some. In verse 14, he said, after he was advising us to mortify the deed of the flesh, he said, for as many, that is Romans 8, 14 now, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, and in Bible, we have to understand that the Spirit of God and the Word of God, they are one, isn't it? He said in Ezekiel chapter 2, he said, and the Spirit enter me when he speak the word unto me. So the Spirit of God always goes with the Word of God. That's why when you see the Word of God being preached in a place in the truth, you see the Spirit of God working there. Even without laying hands on anybody, you see the Spirit, the Word working, because the Spirit is going with the Word. Thank you, Jesus Christ. So the Spirit of God is the one that's supposed to be leading you. And when the Spirit of God is leading you, not your emotion, then you will live a sanctified life. Hallelujah to Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, he said, abstain for all appearances of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. He said, abstain. What means to abstain? Take off. Hello? Don't watch what you don't want. Don't say, you know, I've told us this, let's be careful. Even especially with television. You know, when a church in Nigeria declared that TV is a quotidian, and people say they are stupid. No. I'm telling you that I'm not asking you not to watch TV, but beware of what you watch. Beware of what you watch. Because what you watch determines what your mind processes, the information your mind processes. What your mind processes determines what you think. And as anyone, and the way you think is what you become. Hallelujah. You cannot be sitting and be watching dirty movies and not be thinking dirty thoughts. Even with our children, sir, let's watch them. A lot of cartoons is full of nonsense stories. Stories that won't build them. And once you want something again and again, you know the devil is a very cunning spirit. He cannot create anything. He can only adjust what has been created. He knows that the Word of God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So anything you hear again or you see again and again, it goes to your subconscious mind. Isn't it? When it goes to your subconscious mind, what you think about is, anytime you are thinking, you naturally go to your subconscious mind, take information from there, and roll it over in your mind again and again. And it will either lead you to faith or to fear. When you have faith, it activates God. When you have fear, it activates demons. Hello? Thank you, Jesus. So, that also he said that. He said, flee or abstain from all. How many? All appearances of evil. Say flee. Appeal. Flee. Don't patronize. You don't say, okay, let me just look at it small. You know, children. They say, okay, Papa, I say, what do you want to do? I want to do that thing just small now. Oh, no, don't do any small. Hallelujah. Say no. He said, flee. Abstain. Watch what you hear. Even watch what music you listen to. Because in way, I've told you this example that I had, experience I had in Nigeria one time when I traveled from Lagos to Ibadan and was playing Salawa Beni. I got to and I started singing the song. There is no way, even when I was up on again, I would have bought that kind of cassette forever. It was not my kind of music. But listening to it for just 1 hour, what happened? I started singing it. Hallelujah. So he said, watch. He said, abstain from all appearances of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, or make you pure, or make you holy. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, don't let your emotion dictate. Hello? Don't let your emotion dictate. Let the word of God and the spirit dictate unto you. Number two, don't let your experience dictate to you what is holy or not holy. Your experience can be wrong. Hallelujah. Your experience can be wrong. Somebody that has had issue with me, with maybe trouble in marriage before, and maybe for one reason or another, the marriage ended, and now he's meeting somebody sent by God to rescue him or her, to marry her, and start a new life. So from my experience, men are evil. I don't want to have anything to do with men. See, his experience has become a bad teacher to him. Hello? Your experience is not stronger than the word of God. The word of God says that marriage is a honorable thing. He said marriage is a good thing. He said whosoever find a wife, find a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord. So the fact that your husband or your wife or your uncle's marriage was not working does not mean that yours won't work, because according to the word of God, it should work. Hallelujah to Jesus. So don't let your experience determine what is right or not. Hello? Let the word of God determine. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Philippians 3:13 said, brethren, I cannot myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I continue to pray, because there is nothing, no amount of cry that you do about what happened yesterday. He can't change it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't undo it. You see, there are times when you remember something and say, hey, you know, what's that in Yoruba? Only remember who? Your emotion, then you start crying again. You remember when he was in secondary school? He said one of his friends calling him and he cried. And you remember again, he started crying. The friend that called him that name is having a nice time in a party somewhere. And he's the one that is suffering. See, you can't change it. Hallelujah. So don't let your experience alone determine. Let the word of God be the standard. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Another thing that also fight against the word of God in that context is, number three, circumstances. Say circumstances. Don't let the circumstance determine. Oh, you know, the circumstance that surrounds us in Europe right now is very difficult to serve God. No, I don't have to serve God. I will put it in the freezer till later when I have time. May the devil not grant your destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Don't do that. Don't let the circumstance dictate. You know, when Elijah was saying, Daddy, oh God, what is happening? Israel has become a very bad nation. I said, what did they do? They've killed all your prophets. Is it true? And God was saying, what is this boy saying? He didn't tell, I'm omniscient, I know everything. What are you saying? He said, yes, I know you know everything, but they have killed all. In fact, I'm the only one remaining. God said, keep quiet. I have 7,000 souls that have not bowed down for what? To this bar. Don't think you are the only one that is serving God in Stockholm. Hallelujah. There are people who have not compromised you. So don't say, you know, in Europe or in this modern world, it's very difficult to be holy. No, don't let your circumstance dictate. Hallelujah to Jesus. Number four is the tradition of men. See, tradition of men. You know, tradition came from the word trade, something that is traded down unto you. You know, that is exchanged from God, from third generation. Tradition, trade from generations. So they trade it to you. Say, you know, tradition of men. Say, oh, you know, it's true. People don't serve God in this kind of situation. Oh, don't listen to them. They are deceiving you. But look at what Jesus said here in Matthew 7:8. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 8. He said, for laying aside the commandment of God, he said, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. So the Israelites, they were holding on to tradition of men. Say, you know, you are eating, you didn't wash your hand. Hallelujah. Tradition of men. Jesus healed somebody on Sabbath day. They say, we will kill you today. You are a wicked man. Why? Because you are breaking the law. Which law did I break? Say, you heal somebody. Say, use your head then. Which one is important? He said, if you have your animals, you have your donkeys, if they fall into pit, don't you bring them out on Saturday? He said, yes, But he said, will you then allow this daughter of Abraham to continue suffering? So it's wrong for me to heal her on Saturday? See, they were holding on to tradition of men. And Jesus even told them, said, now, you go to a tomb, you whitewash it, you paint it white, but inside is thinking, full of maggot. Their life is full of maggot inside. They are pretenders. So don't hold on to tradition of men. Hold on to tradition of God. What does the word of God say? Not what our pastor says. Not what our bishop said. Not what our papa said. But what does the word of God say concerning this situation? Hallelujah. There are many things going on now, especially now that the devil is trying to enter into the church. Coming with all manner of doctrines. Bible calls it doctrine of demon. I mean, doctrine that makes people to eat grass. That's doctrine of demon. Hello? Doctrine that says, okay, I've just traveled to South Korea right now. I brought some handkerchief. I can see people that line up here. If I can afford 5,000, I'll give you this handkerchief right now. Where do you see that one? How much did Paul collect from the handkerchief they took from him? How much did Jesus collect to cast out demon from Mary Magdalene? He said, freely when you were given, you give it out freely. So we're manipulating people. A lot of doctrines of demons and people are falling to it because they are ignorant of the truth. They don't know the difference. You know, especially now that they are changing money. Is it this month that they will change it? A lot of things are happening in many shops. All manner of Genje money is coming in now. Hello? Because they know that it's going to end. So they are coming out with all manner of fake money. But without the original, they can't be fake. Hello? So, but the good thing is that once you know the original, once somebody brings the fake, you know it. That no, this is not it. Hello? If you know your true Samsung or your iPhone, you know. Somebody come in with another iPhone that put the logo. You will quickly know. That no. My own, they're supposed to what? They engrave it. Not that they stamp it. You know this about wonderful people. They just go and make the stamp. Bam! And you buy it. They say, I have iPhone 20. No, this one has iPhone 0. It's an iPhone 20. So, know the word of God. So that when the devil comes to trap you, you will do like Jesus and bring out the sword. It is written. Shara. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, and the next one is religion. Don't let religion dictate to you what is right or wrong. Romans 10, 1-4. Paul was speaking about Israel. He said, my heart desire, in Romans 10, 1-4, said, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. See, they were religious. Hello? This guy will not miss the temple for nothing. Just like, say, when it is time to go to the temple, they will close all the shops. Everywhere are closed. They're not saved. So full of religion. So full of activity, but not reality. Activity does not equal to reality, sir. Passion does not equal to what? To reality. You can be passionately wrong. Hallelujah. He said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. So they have a kind of zeal. They were zealous to serve God. They were going to the temple. They were carrying out animal. Kitty, kitty, kata, kata. They want to go and sacrifice. He said, but not according to knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the word of God. Their zeal was not according to the word of God. That's the meaning. He said, for they, being ignorant, thank you, Jesus, of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness. See, you know, the Bible says that our righteousness is like a filthy rag before God. There is no amount of prayer that you can pray that can save you, sir. There is no amount of fasting that can save you. To become righteous, you have to believe Jesus and accept him as your personal Lord and Savior before your prayer can work. So it has to be done in line with the word of God, not with religion. Hallelujah. You can put the picture or the name of Mary and type Mary everywhere in your room. It will say Mary cannot even save you. Mary too was saved. The same you are saved. Mary was there on the day of Pentecost to receive Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. She was among the people that spoke in tongues first. So don't let anybody use any religious junk to deceive you, sir. Thank you, Jesus. That's the only way. The word of God. Say the word of God.
The word of
That was why he said there. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. Not that I hid my religion. Not that I hid my passion. Not that I hid my compassion. Not that I hid my circumstance. He said, thy word alone. Because you can be wrong in your feeling. Hallelujah. Let's stand up. You see, David tried. You know when David fell to Bathsheba's thing, you think he wasn't a lover of God. He was still a lover of God. Though. God did not say, because David didn't love me again, he then fell. No. No, sir. No wonder. Even when he did it, he cried. That was why when he wrote that Psalm, it was Psalm 51. Say, Lord, you can do anything, but take not your spirit away from me. I've messed up. I've done what's wrong. No wonder. See, some people say, but why can't God deal with this guy? God can't deal with him that way because he knew that his heart was panting after God and he placed value on the word of God. Say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. He said, Israel was ignorant of God's righteousness. They go about establishing their own righteousness. He said, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, that believe the word of God and not other thing. Not other thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, I want you to be conscious of this. Don't let anyone manipulate you, whatever they are tied to, whatever their religious, whatever. They say, okay, you told me to do this thing. Okay, yes, sir. Where did you find it in the scripture? Hallelujah. You remember that song we used to listen in Nigeria? It say, some people, they take people to the river and bath them 7 days. Say, where do you see it in the scripture? Where? Show me! Hallelujah to Jesus. Let's remember to always react the way Jesus reacted. Every time temptation comes, what does the word of God say? Let's open Luke as we are standing. Luke chapter 4. We can just round up there. Luke chapter 4. See, Bible says, you see, the way Jesus was tempted, the way we have been tempted, is the way Jesus was tempted. Don't say, okay, because he was the son of God, he was born by Mary, it's a special place in Bethlehem. That was why he was able to withstand the death, the manipulation of the pit from the pit of hell. No, sir. He was empowered by the spirit of holiness through the word of God. Luke chapter 4. In verse 1. He said, and Jesus... In Luke 4:1, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, not being full of Brukutu, he was full of the Holy Ghost. And returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit by what? Remember in the same Romans chapter 8 that we read, he said, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So Jesus was led even into this wilderness. He wasn't led there by his own passion. No. Not according to his own choice. God led him to that place. Now in verse 2, he said, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. So he was moved into going to fasting by the Holy Spirit. Somebody may say, okay, because the Holy Spirit asked him to fast, he wouldn't have allowed the devil to tempt him. He said, forget. The devil still tempted him. If the devil tempted Jesus, he will tempt you too. Hello? I like what Bishop said one time. He said, if you have a problem with keeping money, don't accept when they make you a treasurer of your club. Otherwise, anointing will turn to something else. We borrow it. Hello? And when you borrow it, and the money you are expecting didn't come, you will change figure. Hello? So, like the scripture we read, flee from the appearances of evil. No, understand yourself. So, he said, and in verse 3, he said, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that be made bread. Now look at it. Someone has been fasting for 40 days. Definitely was very hungry. And he said, now, break that fasting. He said, I should break it. It may be 1 hour. You're going to see your tummy is doing somehow. Break it so that you will not die. Oh, say it's true. But Jesus said, no. He went into the archive. He brought out the sword. How did he react? And Jesus answered, it is written. It is written. There is nothing that it is written cannot set you. That is it. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So what I was trying to say is that there is no challenge of your life that is not covered by the word. Look for the relevant word. And it's good to live prepared, because it may be too late to start to get prepared. So live prepared. Hello? Say, I will live prepared. Because, you know, when the envelope is coming, they don't write letter. Say, okay, I'm coming here tomorrow. The devil want to catch you unaware. But always know what does the word of God say concerning every issue. Let's begin to give him praise. Let's give him glory. Let's give him honor. Let's give him adoration. Knowing what the word say concerning every situation. Knowing what the word of God say concerning every situation. That is our secret. That is our secret. That is our secret. That is our secret. Knowing what the word of God says. Jesus said, it is written. And when he gave him that sword, when he gave him that knock on the head, he took off. That is our secret. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was listening to a testimony online this morning, and they told that woman, I said, ah, you come born. You know the excuse they gave? They said, ah, initially they said she doesn't even produce egg. Later they said she was producing egg, but the egg was too small. You see, were you blind before? But the issue is the egg there? Then that's what is enough for baby. Hallelujah. I mean, were they trying to tell her that the egg was a lizard egg or what? Most says, but I have egg. It is too small. Don't worry. As long as the egg is there, baby will come. And baby came. They came to give testimony this morning, but they waited for 7 years. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. He told somebody, he said, his spam is low spam kind. He said, okay, shut up. I need only one spam. Hallelujah. See, look, what does the word of God say? The devil say, he's suggesting to you, say, this headache is doing boom, boom, boom. Don't you see? He will tell you. See, remember that uncle 10 years ago? That was why he did it. He took off. Start counting your days. Shut up. It is written, by stripes I made whole. He said, you know, this business, you know, it won't work well. Because, you know, you are not a white man. It won't work. Shut up. God is not a respecter of persons. There is always the relevant word. Hello? The relevant word for the season. Hallelujah. He will tell you that, you know, your sickness, that's why it's coming out, because it's so much. They shut up. The Bible says that as long as earth remains, see time and world and harvest shall be, say cold and winter. So cold and winter did not come because of sin. God created it. So I'm not supposed to be falling sick in summer. Hallelujah. So they don't let the devil deceive you with any nonsense. If we don't understand, he say, okay, seek for what? Seek for help. What does the word of God say concerning this issue? Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. Let us receive the grace again to be able to withstand the evil days. Let us receive the grace to be able to tell the devil to shut up. Let us receive the grace in the mighty name of Jesus Christ to tell the devil to shut up in the mighty name of Jesus. That every yoke of the devil in our lives must take off today in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that has yoked us or that has connected us to the evil one, everything that the devil is using to bring us down, today we are liberated in the mighty name of Jesus. The fire of the Holy Ghost will separate us from every evil in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Thank God. I remember I'm supposed to anoint us today. And what are we praying for? What are we believing God for? We have said that, and by the anointing the yoke shall be destroyed. As you are anointed today, everything that the devil is using to connect you with failure will be destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, and by the anointing, he said, the yoke shall be destroyed. You know what is called yoke? Do you know it? That stick that they put on the back of the animal to connect them. So he said, it takes the anointing of the Holy Ghost to break that yoke. So as you are anointed today, see the yoke between you or something that is connecting you with that sickness being destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. As you are anointed right now, see every yoke that is the enemy is using to hook you up with that ungodly habit being destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I want us to pray right now that, Lord, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, destroy every yoke of the enemy in my life. In the name of Jesus Christ. By the anointing of the Holy Ghost, destroy every yoke of failure. Destroy every yoke of iniquity. Destroy every yoke of backwardness. Destroy every yoke of sickness. every yoke of weakness in the name of Jesus Christ. By the fire of the Holy Ghost, let the yoke of failure, of backwardness be consumed in the name of Jesus Christ. Every yoke of the enemy, Masatayagata, in Toporotia, in Lesikayata, in Sosoprede, Rigabatanya, in Kotosote, Yimaragatakatakata, Zekataparagada, in the name of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Ghost, we are rescued. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. That man, he was sitting at the beautiful gate. For his life was not beautiful. His life was not beautiful. Some people, they are living in a nation, but the reflection of that nation is not in their life. Sickness won't let them enjoy that thing. Weakness won't let them enjoy that thing. Some people are, they are walking and walking. There was nothing to show for it. But as the Lord liveth, as you are anointed, the power of the Holy Ghost comes afresh upon you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The apostles and the servants of God were intimidated. They said, do not preach in the name of this man again. Oh, the devil wanted to grant their destiny. Because if they didn't preach in the name of Jesus again, what would have happened? It would have become toys. But they didn't say, okay, Jesus, we're in trouble. No. The Bible said they cried unto him. And the power of the Holy Ghost was released afresh. And the place was shaking. I see the earthquake of God shaking around your life and destroying every yoke of the devil right now. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When the earthquake of God comes, it will separate you from any manner of failure. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the book of Revelation says, and there shall be no more curse. No matter how long that curse might have stayed in your lineage, you are set free in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, honor your word in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let there be testimonies that we are born as a result of this in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.